The Supreme Court hears a case today that has big implications for American democracy, as in, who has authority over running elections? Is it courts? Is it lawmakers? The case started when North Carolina's Supreme Court threw out a gerrymandered congressional map, and the Republican lawmakers who drew that map sued. Their argument is what's long been a fringe legal theory, that state lawmakers have broad powers over elections that are unchecked by state courts. It's being pushed by people like Jason Sneed of the conservative Honest Elections Project. He says it's the courts that are overreaching.
I think at bottom, what we're talking about is not legislatures having unchecked powers. It's courts acting in ways which fundamentally do not look very democratic. And it's about courts exercising unchecked power. And that's what Moore v. Harper is really trying to, if you take the arguments from the North Carolina legislature, is really trying to slow down and check is this misuse and abuse of the courts to exercise political or policy judgments in contravention of and over top of the judgments of lawmakers.
Now, many legal scholars across the political spectrum criticize this theory. It's known as the independent state legislature theory. One of those is DeForest Soares Jr. He's a former Secretary of State of New Jersey, an independent, and he chaired the Federal Election Assistance Commission under George W. Bush. Mr. Soares, you know, I was in Pennsylvania recently where there was a debate over early voting and when it could start, over ballot box and when they would be made available. Are those the kind of election rules that state lawmakers could reject under this theory?
That's exactly right. This places the legislature as the ultimate elections administration agency and authority. And it undermines the whole idea of checks and balances. It undermines the idea that there's an executive branch, a judicial branch that interprets laws and their application, and then a legislative branch that passes the laws.
If the Supreme Court rules in favor of this theory, could state lawmakers overturn the electors in a presidential election, the people who go to Washington, D.C. as their state electors? What are some possibilities of how this could play out and sow chaos, perhaps?
Well, to the extent that federal electors are part of the federal election system, the legislature would have the ultimate say on the legitimacy or lack thereof of federal electors, I suppose. The day-to-day implications are very serious because, to your point, there are so many administrative decisions that have to be made that impact voting in this country. And state by state, we know that historically it's been state legislatures that had poll tax laws. It was state legislatures that forbade African Americans and women from voting even after the United States Constitution was passed. And so without any checks or balances, state legislatures historically have proven to be politically partisan and to create outcomes that favor the party that's in charge.
So, you know, as you're saying, this from the perspective of voters, I mean, this is a question of the franchise, right? Whether they get access to the polls, as you've been describing. I want to ask you about the court of public opinion. That is, you know, so long as this theory is out there before the Supreme Court and being debated publicly, does it give a kind of legal cover for election deniers?
Election deniers are of a different breed, and I think they raise questions that far exceed constitutional boundaries. Now, to your question specifically, however, if election deniers, for instance, controlled a particular state legislature, and in that instance, the independent state legislature theory was in place, that would simply mean that that legislature could determine the outcome of an election because they would have ultimate power to certify or not certify an election.
This is the John Eastman theory, is it not? That is the lawyer advising Donald Trump in 2020.
That is certainly his theory. It's a part of his theory. His theory is much more complex than that. But at the end of the day, if politics rules governance and governance is simply a tool of politics, then we've basically undermined the foundational principles of our democracy. politics is a part of our democratic process, but at the end of the day, governance is supposed to be of the people, by the people, and for the people. And one of our big picture challenges in this country is that we're so accustomed to turning over our governance to our politicians that they sometimes seem inseparable. In this instance, if this case goes the way the proponents want it to go, they want the politics and the governance to become one.
If for a moment I can kind of pose an argument from the other side, mm-hmm. the National Republican Redistricting Trust is one of the groups supporting this independent state legislature theory. And this group argues that in striking down the map, the Supreme Court in North Carolina engaged in unconstitutional lawmaking. Their argument is that in the Constitution, when it comes to elections, courts cannot engage in what they argue is lawmaking.
Well, what's interesting about that theory is that the legislature makes the laws and the courts interpret the laws. And so that argument is just so weird and so unprecedented. I admire the lawyers who can even respond to it. The state legislatures create elections laws. The state courts interpret the meaning and the intent of those laws. And so to the extent that the federal constitution, which protects the rights of states to handle their business, as it were, and that gives federal judges the only authority to review the decision of a state court, that's constitutional. I'm not an attorney, but you know, having been a state and federal elections official, it's always been clear that there are state laws, there are federal laws, and the federal constitution would never abridge the right of states to interpret and implement its own elections laws, whether it's state elections or federal elections. What's interesting is that you have people who are typically states' rights people arguing for non-states' rights constructs.
We have been talking to DeForest Soaries Jr., former Secretary of State of New Jersey, speaking to us about the big case before the Supreme Court today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.